Father, Father, send us the promised Paraclete through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God, you have called these sons and daughters of yours here, deacons, candidates to the diaconate, and their wives. The church is going to depend on them to be Jesus. When Stephen was called to be a deacon, he was Jesus in his time. Thank you, Father, for Stephen. Truly, he was. He lived, he loved as Jesus himself. When you call Lawrence to be a deacon, truly, he was Jesus in his day and time. Now you have called these men. They are going to be Jesus in our time. Father, anoint them this evening and prepare them, each of them, to be Christ in the world today. This whole world has been plunged into darkness. The only light is Jesus. That they will become Jesus so that they can light the world and set it afire with divine love. Thank you for calling us all here tonight in preparation for a new evangelization and a new Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Monsignor Schlesselman has some opening remarks.
Thank you very much, Monsignor.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Monsignor. Thank you. I remember that conversation Father was saying, well, what isn't there you haven't done? And Father Laliberti says, I know there's something you haven't done. You haven't jumped out of a plane with a parachute. I said, no, I have. I have 6 free falls. Remember that day? That was funny. Yeah. What is there I haven't done? God knows. Anyway, here I am. I'm so glad to be here. The most important work in the church today is what we're doing right here. My brothers, especially, I address this word to you. You are the most important people in the Catholic Church today. That's why I'm here. You're going to be ordained as deacons, and 2 of you already are deacons in the church. You're clergy. And what you are is you're conformed to Jesus Christ by baptism, by confirmation, and those of you who are already ordained or will be through ordination. Jesus is going to dwell in you in this time and in this age. Actually, you are Jesus Christ in the world today. That's really the message. It's the message that was preached by Paul. I would like to read, first of all, that from Ephesians to begin our retreat. You know, God just doesn't see you coming here this evening, my brothers and sisters, and he sees you kind of all grown up. And no, that isn't how God sees you tonight. As the Lord looks out at you, he sees you right now in your mother's womb. That's how God sees you. How does God see me? During this retreat, you don't have to catch God up on your history. He knows everything about you. As you come here tonight, he knows your father and mother. He knows that moment that particular seed from your father fertilized that egg in your mother And he blew into you that soul that is you. As we read in Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. When did God know you? When there was nothing in this world. That's when God knew you. Before there was anything, there was no sun and moon, there were no stars, there was no universe, there was nothing but God. Before the foundation of the world, God was thinking about you. Can you believe that? It's true. Before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless before him, in love, he destined us for adoption to himself. He had this plan from all eternity. You. He wants you. He wants you in his plan. This is Ephesians 1, the third verse. Before him, he destined us for adoption in himself through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the favor of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace that he granted us in his beloved. And so, long before the world existed, God was thinking about you. Do you know something about you that is so important? I learned this from a rabbi. When I told you about that moment that you began to exist in your mother's womb, that God was looking at you and loving you there, what were you doing? Nothing. Just being. That he knew your grandmother and your grandfather. How many people, even just for 20 generations, this is what I learned from a rabbi, 20 generations ago, it took 1 million people to put you in the chair where you are tonight. Do you know how precious you are to God? If one of those people was missing back in those generations, you wouldn't be here. That's how precious you are to God. That's how much God loves you. What is the infinite love and the mercy of God for me? And so that's what we're going to begin our retreat with. I'm going to ask you to spend 4 hours of prayer each day. That each of us will pray for 4 hours. Your husbands and wives, you have a lot to tell each other. You've had a lot of time to do that. This weekend, talk to God. Spend time with God. Be with the Father who gave you your husband, who gave you your wife. Spend time with the one who gave you everything you have. So that's really what I'm going to ask you very strongly to do that. Now, in order to do that, you have to really be in silence. Now, when Father Schlesselman, and I know Monsignor Schlesselman has talked to you about silence before, I honestly believe that most of us, as you come on retreat tonight, that we do not value silence. We've had so little experience of silence. I don't mean, and I'm not going to go checking around whether you're silent or not. I'm really not. I really came here because it's a very important time. We only have these few hours. And God has called me, meaning me, you, here to talk to you. What is silence? Can you imagine if the Pope, I had 1 hour, I've had a very important time in my life with many important people. I had 1 hour with John Paul II in private conference with him. When I was coming back from Lebanon, I had an hour with this magnificent and wonderful Pope. Wow, isn't that great? When I tell people that, I've given retreats and have had immense time and living in a lived experience with Mother Teresa. Isn't that great? But with God, God wants to spend time with me? What is the focus here? Why am I so reluctant to be with God? That's what silence is. It's not the external silence. You can go around this weekend and not talk to anyone else, including your wife or your husband, or some of your friends that are on retreat here. Or what I'm demanding of you and commanding and recommending of you, turn off your cell phones. I am not going to be available until Sunday. There's no use calling me. I won't be able to answer this phone. Why not? And it concludes all that. I have nothing that I have to do at work. Some people come on retreat and they have all kinds of things they're going to do. Distractions from God. Clear the way tonight. Silence is not just the external silence. It's the interior awareness that God has called me here to tell me something. I promise you, if you will do that, you will hear God. God has called you here. This is what silence is. To tell me something that he never told me before. I promise you that. God himself wants to speak to me. Words, thoughts, feelings that I've never heard from him before. Now when Father Monsignor Schlesselman talked about God is a Trinity. And so, here's how I'm encouraging you to pray in your hours of prayer. I'm asking you to pray 4 hours. I hope you all have a journal. Do you all have a journal? Do you have a journal now that you're writing with? Please write this down if you will write this down. Because I know I've given you notes, but even if you want to write on your notes, because they're personal to you. Your first hour of prayer. This is how the hour should go. We come before God to pray. And in our first evening of prayer, which will be tonight and tomorrow, I am going to suggest that you pray for a specific grace. So, here's how I'm encouraging you to pray. Look at God our Father and ask him, God, I pray that you will reveal to me, put it in your own words, the infinite love you have for me. Whatever you want to say to God the Father, God our Father, I pray that you will reveal to me in a new way the infinite love you have for me. Say that to God. And then, as you appear before God, say to Jesus, Jesus, I pray that you will reveal to me the infinite love you have for me. I pray that you will reveal to me in a new way the infinite love you have for me. And then to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will reveal to me the infinite love you have for me. and then to Mary. Blessed Mother Mary, I pray that you will reveal to me the infinite love you have for me. Now notice in those prayers, because no child of God or child of Mary can come to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Blessed Mother. Now I recommend you pray in that order. You may be very devoted to Mary. I ask you, pray to the Father first. Then pray to Jesus, and then pray to the Holy Spirit and the Blessed Mother. I'm just encouraging you to do it that way. It may be a little different than the way you enter into the presence of God. But each hour that you're going to pray, so now tomorrow when we begin our prayer, the day is completely in silence. And so I recommend that you might have 2 hours that you might want to pray in the morning, an hour in the afternoon, and an hour in the evening. If you're a morning person, 2 hours in the morning, an hour in the afternoon, an hour in the evening. But that'll be Friday and Saturday. Very important. There'll be 8 hours of prayer. I promise you, if you pray that way, God will answer. But that's the first hour. That's the way we're going to pray tomorrow. So Friday, you pray to God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Blessed Mother. Your first hour, your second hour, your third hour, and your fourth hour. When you come to those hours of prayer, that's the grace you're going to ask for. I'm a man of prayer. I really am. I've prayed all my life. I know this about prayer. If you don't ask God for much, you're not going to get much. If you ask God for a little, you'll get little. What I'm asking you to ask God for is much. Can you imagine? Reveal to me in a new way the infinite love you have for me. That's new. That's enormous. Let him reveal it to you. And God the Father will answer you. And you will hear him if you listen. Jesus will answer you if you listen. The Holy Spirit will answer you if you listen. And the Blessed Mother will answer you if you listen. That's why the silence is so important. So many times, the joy of prayer is not what you're going to tell God. The joy of prayer will be what God and Mary tell you. You're coming on retreat tonight. You may have 1,000 things on your mind. Are they as important as what God wants to tell you? Obviously not. What God brought you here to tell you is far more important than what you want to tell God. And so what I'm reminding you of is the simplicity of God speaking to you. That's what silence is. And to listen. When Samuel came into the temple, and he stood before God, and he said to God, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So many of us come into the temple and we tell God, "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. What's on your mind, you little bug?" As you come into God's presence tonight, and I don't mean to put you down, I only mean to emphasize how important it is to listen to God and what he wants to tell you. That's what silence is. And so as you begin to open your mind with a quiet, you see that quiet, that silence? Now I can hear God. Now I can hear him. It was very interesting when I got a call I got a call from Monsignor Schlesselman, and he asked me to come to have this retreat. And it was very important. We had scheduled this almost a year ago. He called me not too long ago, and he said, could you come Thursday instead of Friday? And how important it was that I could come. And I prayed about it, and I thought about it. Now, who asked me to be here with you now? I believe not Monsignor Schlesselman. I really believe that. God. God wanted us to be here tonight. God wanted to speak to us tonight. And it's very important as we listen to God on this opening night of retreat. What I'm suggesting to you as you come into God's presence is to use Scripture. How do you know what God is saying? Well, open the Bible. God speaks to us. Let me go to that same text that I just read to you as an example of God speaking to us. It's Ephesians, and that's, you have it in your text here, suggested scripture prayer. Ephesians 3, 14 to 20. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he may grant you, in accordance with the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to accomplish far more than all we can imagine or ask for, by the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. My whole preaching, my brothers and sisters, is this. My whole preaching. I never knew who I was. I never knew my identity. And I will preach that tomorrow to you in my opening conference. And it's this: who I am, my identity. And because I never knew who I was really on a very bad road. My identity as John Esseff, which I want to tell you. I was born in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, on June the 13th, 1928. And the very day that I was baptized, the very day that I was born, I was baptized. My grandfather was a married deacon. He has an intimate part of my life. You see, in the Eastern Rite of the Church, they never suppress the diaconate. And so George Esseff, my grandfather, was a married deacon. He was the father of 10 children. And he was the most important person, I would say, in God's providence in my life. So that when I was born, I had this wonderful grandfather who was a deacon in the Eastern Rite Church. He served our priest, Father Corey, at St. Anthony's Church. And he came home after the novena of St. Anthony's, And he said to my mother, the day I was born, he said, "What did you have?" And she said, "I had a baby boy." And he said, as he scooped me up, and the family tells me this is the story, that what name are you going to give him? And there was a big argument in the family. And if you knew the Essefs, you'll realize that they argued about everything. So my father said, "His name is John." But in our family, because my grandfather's name was George, my father was the oldest son, and I was now the first son, my name should have been George. But my brother got the name. My father insisted my name be John the day I was born. Anyway, the story was that my grandfather, that very day, took me down to St. Anthony's Church with my godmother, Catherine Corey, and my godfather, Bill Harry, and a group of the community, and I was baptized by Father Corey. "John, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." And I was transformed into Jesus Christ. Now tomorrow, I'm going to talk to you about that at my 9 o'clock conference. It's probably one of the most important conferences of this retreat. What happens in our baptism? What happened to me was I was transformed into Jesus Christ the day I was baptized. But no one bothered to tell me. I honestly didn't know. And so I grew up in this Catholic family with this wonderful family around me, and no one bothered to tell me who I was, my identity. I was Jesus. That's who I was by baptism. And so I grew up deformed, not transformed. I was in a family, my grandfather and his children, my father was one of 10. I grew up in his home, my grandfather's home, 17 people. One of them was my Aunt Sarah. And so I'm 3 years old. This is a very early recollection of mine. I'm standing by the kitchen sink. I'm drying dishes or whatever I was trying to help my Aunt Sarah. And she was in the kitchen and she's looking out of the window. And she's looking at our neighbors. And this is so clear in my mind. She's looking and she's saying, "They're the Hoax, our neighbor." "Yes, Aunt Sarah?" And what about it? Because she looks so troubled. "They're Protestants." "Yeah? What about that, Aunt Sarah?" "They're going to hell." "Oh, that sunk right into my mind. They're going to hell." So about a year later, as this germinated in me, this deformation that was taking place, I'm playing marbles in the schoolyard with Arthur and David Gassner. And you know how kids are playing marbles, and I'm playing marbles with, and Arthur Gassner says to me, I don't know how, you know how kids talk, that he was a Protestant. I said, "Oh my God, you're gonna go to hell." He said, "Really?" So I gave him the gospel according to John. I said, "Yeah, you're going to go right to hell." I said, "Listen," and I started talking to him. And there was another kid who was just as deformed as I was, Charles Lear. And I said, "We can baptize you right now." And his brother, who was so frightened about the whole thing, he said, "I'm a Protestant too. How about if you baptize me?" I was going to baptize those two kids right there, 4 years old. I was being deformed. I didn't know it. That wasn't the worst of it. I went to Catholic school. We were all Catholics in our community there. I think Wilkes-Barre is about, I don't know, what percentage of Catholics. But we're all different nationalities. There were Germans, there were Irish, there were all kind of people, but they were all honestly, truly divided. When I went to the school, I went to St. Mary's, and it was during World War II, and there was the German church, St. Nicholas. Heil Hitler! And we got fighting with those kids. Every football game, every basketball game was a fight. St. Nicholas and St. Mary's. And they were the Irish. I was the Lebanese leprechaun. But we always fought. Catholics, all of us, but divided. Germans and Irish. It wasn't bad enough. I continued to get broken. I remember my dad had some customers. They were Jewish. And this poor little kid, my father had, we had these customers. My dad was selling fruit and produce. He had about 35 stops. And one of the customers was Louis Gross. And Louis Gross was had a grocery store in Glen Line. There was Wilkes-Barre, Sugar Notch, all these little towns, and there was Glen Line, Nanny Cook, and he was telling us the story one day of his little nephew in Nanny Cook, and this little kid, 6 years old, goes to school, and they find out he's Jewish, and all the kids, which were mostly Christian in the area, said, "You killed Jesus Christ, you killed Jesus Christ." Well, kid said, "Honest to God, I didn't. Maybe it was my Uncle Louie. He lives down in Glen Line." All the kind of brokenness. That's how I grew up. I grew up with a mind that was not Jesus. I went to seminary. Same thing. No one ever told me who I am. You know that text I just read to you? In Christ Jesus by baptism? I never heard that until I was in second theology at Catholic University. Pius XII wrote an encyclical called Mystici Corporis. I'm 21 years old and I'm studying to be a priest. I always wanted to be a priest. I always was a Catholic, but I didn't know my identity was Jesus. That's my story. That's my story to you during this retreat. Who am I? I know who I am. As I began to study Mystici Corporis, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, Galatians, I live, no, not I, but Christ lives in me. Scales fell from my eyes. Oh my God, I'm Jesus. By baptism. Baptism transforms me into Christ. Who am I? What's my identity? You see, my brothers, you are not being called to be deacons. You are being called to be Christ. Now, the most fundamental call that you've already had is to be Christ in marriage. Before you were being called to be a deacon in Christ, you were called to be married in Christ. And so, when Paul talks about what I just gave you, Ephesians 1, this magnificent call that we have before the world began, and that chapter 3, I kneel before God from whom all families are called. All families. And now chapter 5, that you're married in Christ. Husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church. And so this retreat is a call radically to be Christ. And so this call that I want to have in a new way revealed to me, that's what I want, Father. Jesus, Holy Spirit, Blessed Mother, reveal it to me. Do I really know my identity in Christ? Not when you are going to be ordained a deacon, but as a baptized, confirmed Christian, as a married Christian, you are Jesus. That's your identity. And so as we come to this retreat, so often scales, because the world around us, as it deceived me at 3 years old, growing up as a Catholic in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, how it deceived me all the way through, even through theology, until I really discovered my identity. And so today, and we live in the year of grace, 2012, please, God, reveal to me my identity. Reveal it in a new way to me. Teach me who I am to you. When the Father looks down at this group gathered here, right now, as the Father sees us, there is only one Jesus in this chapel, just one. There's Jesus in the tabernacle, the head, and Jesus in each of us. That's who he sees. Who do I see? First of all, in me. That's what I want to find out during this retreat. Who do you see in me? Who am I to you? Reveal it to me, Father. Reveal it to me, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Mary. Let me see in a new way who I really am, my identity. Hopefully, as the week goes on, as the weekend continues, then I can begin to see first, that same Jesus is in my wife. First, in my husband. First. And then in my brothers and sisters. In my children. Until I can begin to see with my true eyes, my true identity. So this is going to be a magnificent opportunity this weekend to see in an entirely new way. That's the grace we're going to ask for. Give me a new awareness of who I really am. The magnificent joy that I will begin to discover in who, now I don't mean just you. I came here this weekend to discover who I am anew in Jesus. That is John Esseff. I can't give this to you because it's not me that gives it. It's he who lives in me. Who is speaking to you? He who speaks through me. He in me, I in him. John 15. Remain in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. If my words are not his, if my thoughts are not his, you won't learn anything from me. From the beginning of time until now, no one ever said anything new or redemptive or powerful. There is only one who saved us. Jesus! Jesus! All of mankind was lost. Only Jesus saved us. And so when that power came into me At baptism, I was transformed. The pus, which I'm going to talk about tomorrow, was transmitted from Adam and Eve down through my parents. And don't get the wrong idea about your parents. They were full of pus, and so are you. Get the message, because unless you really know that, you will never know what Jesus really did for mankind. And you will never be able to preach it. You can never teach it. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. All of us were lost. From the time of Adam and Eve, through my mother and father, I was infected. I was diseased, broken. Only baptism saved me. And when my grandfather took me down, I was cleansed with Jesus, and no one ever told me. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. I was 21 years old, all through Catholic school, and no one ever told me. That's a tragedy. And never let it, ever since that time that I ever preached, that I will never again let it go. Never. Not from that time on. I remember from that moment on, when the scales fell from my eyes, I thought, oh my God, I didn't know who I was. And as a young seminarian, I remember being enlightened. And I hope that this weekend, each of us will begin to discover anew, and me too, that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And isn't only that Savior who was here in the tabernacle suffered and died and rose in the year 33? No. He suffers and dies and rises in you and has been ever since you were baptized. And that you have that opportunity to look deeply into your soul this weekend and begin to look in your rearview mirror for those times when Jesus suffered in you. Yeah, Jesus has suffered in you already and died in you and rose in you, and the Paschal mystery takes place in you and in me. What a magnificent opportunity we have. How important it is that we take this time, these few hours that we have, and plunge into the silence and the solitude and let God reveal to us. We'll come out next Sunday exploding with new life for the whole world, not just for those little picayune things that we think are so important this evening, but for the whole world. For the entire universe, we have a message, the truth, that I live in Christ, and Christ lives in me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. You have scripture, which I've handed on to you now for your first hour, your second hour, and your third. One will be the text there. You have Luke 11, Ephesians 3, 14, Psalm 139. It's magnificent. As you take that hour, use that particular text. And so you get into the presence of God, requesting that same reveal to me anew, God, the infinite love you have for me, and then pray Psalm 139, and then a magnificent one, Jeremiah 29:11-14. And so as you pray each hour, now pray the hours as you feel like you want to. Maybe tomorrow morning, 2 in the morning. Maybe you want to do it in the afternoon, 1 hour in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. May the goodness of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Are you going back home tonight?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. And I won't see you?
No.
Okay. That'll be good.
But you have my cell number.
That's, I think, thanks a lot, brother. I think we're off to a good start.